Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, I'm taking the key events from Scripture that have happened throughout the history of the world and using those as a sermon theme. Creation last week. This week we're looking at, I lumped together the fall and the flood because they share so much in common. And would like to use the text as the text, Genesis 6, verses 5 to 8. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. If creation was the beginning of everything, the fall is the event that changed everything. I put it together with the topic of the flood because I think the two go so well together. After the fall and the people were spreading out across the world, they had a whole world to possess, which it's remarkable even to comprehend. No one owned any part of it. There were no boundaries, there were no countries, there were no wars, there were no rules, and so they spread out across the land, seeing what land was beyond the river, or what was over the next mountain, or through the next forest. And as they went on their way, they went to possess the land, and they left God behind. The words that Jesus would say many centuries later would have been good words for them to hear. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? And yet that is the journey that they took. There's a part of us that envies those people because we have an idea that it's more fun to live life without God's rules. I was in Iowa, had a funeral for a woman that I had met late in her life. She was not a member of my church, but a friend or a family member asked if I would visit this lady in the hospital, and I did. And over the last few months of her life, she allowed me to pray with her, to read scripture with her, and she became a believer, baptized into the faith, and she then died soon after that. And I had the funeral at a funeral home, and I told that story during the funeral, and I rode to the cemetery. As many of you may or may not know, oftentimes the pastor rides in the hearse with the funeral director to the cemetery, and so I would have great conversations with the funeral directors in those rides to the cemetery. And this time, instead of a conversation, he had a question to ask. He said, was it fair that this woman got to live her whole life free of all the rules of God and still got to go to heaven? He had this idea that somehow life was better if you lived it apart from the rules of God. And there is a sense even in the church that a life that follows the way of God misses out on the good life. It's exactly the thinking that led to the fall and led to the flood. Eve had life perfectly made. She lived in paradise. There was absolutely no problem in her life. She had something that my wife shares. She was even married to a perfect man. And a humble man, a humble perfect man. There was nothing wrong with her life, absolutely. No disease, she would never die. And yet she was tempted into thinking her life wasn't complete if she didn't eat that one fruit that was hanging from the tree. She fell for the lie that Satan gave. And he just keeps using the same one over and over again. And I bet it's a lie you have heard told to you. And I bet it's a lie you've even told to yourself. It's a phrase we know by heart. Just look at the fun you are missing. He uses it over and over again. Of all the big events in the Bible, it could be that the fall affects the most minute details of our life. It has engulfed our lives in such a way that everything we say, everything we do, everything we think has to go through that one flaw that is the fall. It shows up in our lives as a sense of loss. We have this feeling that if we could just have more things, we would be happier. It shows up as a longing for a little more stuff, just one more thing. If I had that one thing, I would be happy. I like things. I like stuff. I get catalogs, and I love to look for the latest equipment for yard work or garden work, and I enjoy looking at all of that. It is not a sin to look at a catalog that has earth-moving equipment in it. It is not a sin to save up your money and to try to get things that are just stuff. It becomes a sin when you step away from God to pursue being happy. It's a journey that always has a terrible end. It's so tempting at first because it feels like you would enjoy life so much. It always leads to destruction, and Satan has his eye on that end of journey. All he wants you to do is take the first step. It's like sticking your toe in the water to see if it's warm. It won't get you all wet. It's just sticking your toe in. He wants you to take the first step, and because of the fall, you're very good at taking the first step. We are very good at taking that first step. The fall left that mark on us. We're easy targets for that lie of Satan. And can you imagine someone who is an expert in human psychology, who has studied human beings for thousands of years? Can you imagine how much he would know about how to tempt human beings to do the wrong thing? He's very good at the business of temptation. Do not underestimate his skill. The Bible has that great verse, "He who stands, take heed lest he fall." It's good advice for you and I to follow. Evidently, it matters. The flood is evidence that God is paying attention, that God is watching what people do. And it's evidence that God cares what people on earth are up to. He is not petty or jealous in some human sense. The flood was not a temper tantrum. He did not just decide to take his toys and go home. God had in mind the eternal destination of those people that were before him. Incidentally, it's one of the things about evolution that's most silly to me. I understand people say that life suddenly occurred or gradually occurred where there was no life, and that makes no scientific sense. Believe me, there's nothing scientific about it. But the idea that a soul could evolve that would live forever is just plain silly. There is no common sense to the idea that a soul could evolve. It's just an impossibility. If you're going to hold to Scripture, you hold that there is a soul that exists, and that soul does not die. It lives forever. God has in mind that that forever is spent in heaven. The devil has in mind that forever is spent in hell. That's the difference. All he wants you to see is that there's a promise of pleasure and that something looks good and it might be fun. He has his eye on the journey's end. He has his eye on the misery. God saw the whole world turn toward that awful end. The whole world believed the lie. The vast majority of the population believed what the devil was telling them, and the end was one of destruction. It's important that you and I learn to know the lie. We will hear it over and over again. The lie will always remain a lie. The promises of Satan that if you would just leave God behind for a little while, what harm could it be, is always going to be a lie. It will never deliver the joy that is promised, never give you the pleasure that is promised, and it always has at its end destruction. Learn to see that real joy comes from simply following the way of God. That there still is value in things we used to be proud of. There's value in integrity. There's value in honor. There's value in giving of your life to help somebody else. Things that nowadays are often made fun of in very public ways still have value in life, and it's where a deeper kind of joy originates. The flood shows God's power to punish. I understand that. If I were God, and I know I could not possibly understand the Creator's mind, but if I were God and I made a perfect world and I put people there and they broke it, I might think, it'd be simple if I would just make a new world, fix it all up, and start with new people, because these people broke it. And now look at this group of people. They have even abandoned me more. They've stepped away from me entirely. I understand punishment. Why would God punish his own son for the sins those people did? And why would God send not anger and punishment on the world, but send his son to be the savior of the world? I will never understand that. The discussion around the flood is mostly an argument about whether or not it really happened. Even church-going people like yourselves will often be caught up in trying to find some proof that the flood happened. that the ark has been found. Millions of dollars have been spent just trying to prove that the flood actually occurred. And the real lesson of the flood is hardly ever talked about. That's what I want to talk about for a moment. I think I'm talking too fast. I'm just going to stop for a minute. If this were television, you go get a snack now, get a drink. This is not television. The first lesson might be the warning that goes with the fall and the flood. The smartest people who ever existed, who had the best evidence that God existed because they saw him and they talked with him, those people sinned. A small group of people possessed the whole world. They had no war, they had no poverty, they had no boundaries, they had no one telling them what they could not do, and they were lured away from God because they wanted more. They had everything, and they wanted more. There was a powerful danger in sin. I want you to take this warning to heart and run away from sin in your life. Run away from taking the first step in saying the first word, in thinking the first thought. Kick sin out of your life. If you are doing something right now that is against the will of God, understand that it is dangerous. Stop doing it. Run away from it. Whatever the promise of reward, it is a lie that will never be fulfilled, and it's dangerous. That's the first lesson of the fall and flood. It's dangerous to sin. The next lesson of the flood has to do with when Methuselah died. You know what Methuselah is famous for? Famous Bill will like this. He's a lot older than Bill. Methuselah is the oldest man mentioned in the Bible. He lived to be 969 years old. You know what year he died? He died the year of the flood. God left him through all the years Noah was building the ark. God left a powerful witness there to say the truth to those people. In 2 Peter, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. God left him there to proclaim to the people that there was another way, that God had opened another way for them. I believe he does this in every generation and in every time. And I believe that the lesson there is that the flood was not an ambush. It took 120 years to build the ark. The people were warned. God desires your presence in heaven. They heard that invitation from those powerful witnesses around them. God leaves witnesses today to bring that invitation. It seems to me, in fact, that God has left you and me to be a part of that witness to the world. The things that we say and the things that we do and the things we refrain from doing and the public statements we make when we're at school and when we're with our families and when we're at work are all part of us being preachers of righteousness. The world needs to hear that God loves them. We need to hear that God loves them. Despite the fall and the evidence that it has in your life and in my life, God will pursue you with love. God's longing is for your salvation. The greatest fear Christians have, in my opinion, I could be wrong, but I believe the greatest fear that Christians have is not unbelief. It is a feeling of shame that says, I am too lost to be saved by God. God may love the world, but I have excluded myself from that love. The greatest fear Christians have is that we have perhaps excluded ourselves from the love of God. The great lesson from the fall is that you are not too lost to be pursued by God. He will never give up running after you to pursue you and pull you into the family of God. Final lesson from the fall and the flood is almost overlooked in the massive devastation. God saved all the righteous people. Methuselah died because his work was done, and God gathered him from this veil of tears and placed him in the joy that is heaven. Noah and all his families were saved in the ark. God always saves the righteous. The most devastating event in history did not harm the people protected by God. An event that destroyed the country that they lived in and the neighboring country and all the countries of the world, that wiped out the entire population of earth, that destroyed all the birds and all the animals, that devastation did not touch the righteous people of God. God always saves the righteous. There is no event in history that will be so devastating that God will not save you. I love that story of Elisha and his servant. They're standing in the city and they're surrounded by a massive enemy army that has overwhelmed their army. They have no one to stand before them and protect them. And Elisha says to his servant, "Our army is stronger than theirs." And the servant says, "We don't even have an army." And Elisha says to God, "Would you please open his eyes?" And God does. And the servant sees flooding all the hills around the valley where the enemy was, angels and chariots of fire. They had a massive army that was stronger than anything an enemy could place before them. God's army is always watching out for you, always there between you and every danger. I promise you that everything God has said is true, that God takes care of you. Don't be afraid. Even in times of massive devastation, God will not abandon his people. God will not abandon you. It is a lesson from the flood, even for those of us who have been tainted by the fall. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.